Savior. And I'm going to remind us of some couple of things, because some of the things we are saying are so important that we need to understand them. We need to be grounded in them. Today we are going to talk about knowing Jesus the Savior. So we read Luke chapter 2:25, which is our theme text, though, and then we go from there. Luke 2:25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout. Is that devout or devout? Devout, right? Righteous and devout. I'm reading New Living Translation, please. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. 27. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let thy servant die in peace as you have promised." 30. I have seen your salvation. What did he see? God's salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. He said, I've seen your salvation, number one. Number two, he is a light to reveal God to the nations. And number three, he is the glory of your people, Israel. The path of the glory is what I'm preaching on Sunday. And I'm telling you, you better be here, because I'm going to preach about it. The Lord gave me this message. I was so thrilled when I was putting it down. A lot of stuff that really blessed my soul. But today, last Thursday, we made some points, which I want to emphasize again. We said that the enemy is trying hard to confuse people about the fact that salvation is only by faith through Jesus Christ. It's only the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is only through Christ. He is fighting hard to corrupt the gospel. He's fighting so hard to deceive people. And he is doing a great job of it. A great job of it. Today, if you really say that you are saved, that salvation is only by faith in Christ, even the people that are not Christians will call you names. They will call you a bigot. They will call you all manner of things. They call you all manner of things. They intimidate you. They say you are not inclusive. There's another word they use. I don't listen to them, so I don't know too many of their words. There's another word they use. You are not accommodating. That's one word I'm searching for that they always use. They say, which means you are not... You're not really allowing others to be part of. You are divisive. You are divisive, right? Divisive, that's what they call you. And so they try to intimidate us. And that is mainstream thinking. If you say what I'm saying on the street, a lot of people will come after you. They become violent. Very throw tomato at you. I'm telling you. So if it was working in the world alone, that'd be a different thing. But it's also slipped into the church. That many Christians today do not believe that Jesus is the only way. Unfortunately, entire denominations also have bought into the lie of the devil. And so we said that we must be persuaded in this, that Christ Jesus is the only way to God. It's the only hope of salvation. It's the only hope of glory. There is no salvation in any other except in who? Yes. In the church, he's giving the church a mixture of grace and works so that you have to walk. Yes, it's by grace, but you have to walk. But that's not the gospel. The Bible says if it is works, then it's no more grace, because grace and works cannot mix up. Amen? Now, do you know that as soon as the early church started to preach the gospel, the enemy showed up and started hitting them to confuse them? This thing didn't start today. he started. Look at Galatians 2:11. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose it to his face. This is Paul saying, I had to oppose Peter to his face. For what he did was wrong. Very wrong. Not just wrong, very wrong. He said, what he did was what? Very wrong. Verse 12. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentiles. This is a man that saw a vision. That God said, don't call what I've made clean, what? This is a man that saw, God saw it. He was there when God baptized him with the Holy Spirit. So what's happening to him? The enemy used fear. Fear. So if you believe in this thing, these people will be after you. So when he came there, when he first arrived, he ate with the Gentiles believers who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter couldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid. He was what?
Afraid.
Afraid of. Now, the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of what?
Fear.
So you can see where that fear has come. There's a spirit saying to him, are you going to? Eh? Are you? They're going to call you names here now. He became afraid. That fear did not come from God. So he became afraid. He was afraid of criticism from those people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. Verse 13. As a result, other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy. You see what has happened? That these people are no more Christians. And yet this man saw a vision. And then his action deceived many people. Because they say, if our leader Peter can do this. They said many people followed him. And the Holy Spirit called it hypocrisy. And even Barnabas. You know Barnabas? He was Paul's mentor. He was one that brought Paul and introduced him to the apostles. These were the giants in the faith. Crumbling like paper. Just crumbling like paper. So Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. 14. When I saw that they were not following the what? The truth of the gospel message. I mean, these were apostles. These were people who saw Jesus. They saw him, right? He said, touch me. This is me. These were the people who had him. He hadn't been gone for long. And here they were being afraid to stand up and say, the gospel is that you are saved only by faith in who? Jesus Christ. They were afraid. The enemy was after them, furiously, using fear, intimidation. So, but praise God. God has witnesses. Somebody like Paul. Somebody shout hallelujah. Paul stood up and said, when I saw they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all of them, since you are a Jew by birth, Peter, have discarded the Jewish laws. He said, you, Peter, you discarded the laws now. You discarded the Jewish laws and are living just like the Gentiles who had no law. Why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish tradition? He confronted Peter before everybody. Now let's continue. When I saw you and I are Jews by birth, so we are not just sinners like the Gentiles, according to the definition of Gentiles and Jews, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we too have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God, even though we are Jews. He said, Peter, you know this. You understand this fact. So how come now that you are avoiding people who have become Christians like you? He said, you live like the Gentiles because you've discarded the law now as a means of righteousness. Because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. You discarded it, Peter, you. And so now you're living like the Gentiles who were given no laws. And you are forcing these Gentiles to live like the Jews. What you rejected, you are pushing them to. Do you get what I'm saying? Brethren, you know, he said, because of our faith in Christ, that's how we're saved. Not because we have obeyed the law, for no one will ever be made right with God by obeying. Case closed. Brethren, get over this thing. You're not going to be holy enough like God. Forget it, never in this life. It's not going to happen. Stop dreaming about it. Because we are going to keep singing it. There is none holy as, and it's in the scripture. It's not that you're singing it. There is none as holy. Never are you going to be. In the sense of you, just forget it. Do you get what I'm saying? If it wasn't in the church today, it's a disaster. It's a serious disaster. That people don't think that Jesus is sufficient. And yet the scripture says Christ is our what? Sufficient. No, they think it's not sufficient. And they're struggling with this thing. But let me tell you, I struggle with it too. Let me confess my sin. You can report me to my wife. I struggled. For many years, I struggled with it. It was a struggle for me. What? Brother, but this is the eternal truth. Titus chapter 3:5. That's why I'm repeating this thing. Because you must come to understand the gospel of grace and stand only on that. You must come to accept it because that's what the Bible says. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done. Church, he saved us not because of the righteous things what we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. Continue. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Continue. Because of his grace, because of his grace, because of his grace, because of his grace, he declared us what? Righteous. And gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. It cost him his son. He paid tremendous price for this thing. It cost him the life of his son. Don't forget that for a second. Verse 8. I didn't finish reading verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial. Not just good, but also what? Beneficial to how many people? To everyone. This truth, if you believe it, your life will change. You don't change. Look, if I come to you and say, don't commit adultery here. And don't tell us here. I'm giving you information that has no power to change you. All I'm giving you is information. Yeah, I should give you information, but I must understand that that information has no power. What? That's why the Bible calls these letters. It's like reading what is simply written there. Life is changed by God himself. And he did that in Christ. He did that where? In Christ, not outside of him. Can I hear amen?
Amen?
Paul said, insist on this thing. Teach it everywhere. He said it's beneficial. For the gospel is the power of God to save anyone who believes it. To save is to set you free and on your way to glory. The gospel. The gospel. Preach the gospel, live it like that. And you see those who believe it, their life, the Spirit of God takes over from there and moves them up from glory to glory. The hand of God does the thing. The hand of God does the thing. God is not served by the hand of men. Anything, I was telling somebody, let me show you, come. Anything, stand here. Anything you commit into the hand of God, what do you see? What do you see? If I commit it into the hand of God, what am I seeing there? The hand of God. If I put it in his hand, tell me what you'll be seeing. He said, if I take it from him, what hand are you seeing? My hand. What can my hand do? But now it's in the hand of God. What are you going to see? You see his hand in the morning, see his hand in the afternoon, see his hand in the evening, see his hand all the time. And whatever is committed into his hand, he's able to keep it. Glory. When you come to Christ, we tell people, give your life to Christ. Is it not what it means? Surrender, put it into his hand. And when he gets it, he says, I'm able to keep you. And I will make you what you are. And no man can take you from my hands. Because I got you now in my hand. I got you in my hand. I am the Lord. And nobody can take you from my hands. That's the gospel. The gospel is stop struggling, surrender. Give it to Jesus. Your whole life. And we said we don't know what we're talking about. Oh, come and give your life to Jesus. That's what it means. Put it into his hand. And watch. Enter his rest. The burdens and everything, cast it on him. And watch him do what no man can do. By the time he finishes with you. And people will be wondering, is he the same person? He's a master builder. Man, he can do awesome stuff. You didn't know me before. If you knew me before, you will know he's a master builder. He takes nonsense and makes sense out of it. Only he can do that. You don't struggle. You don't try to do and try. What can you? The one you've been doing before, how much did he get you? Praise the Lord. So, we say that the enemy tries to mock our faith. When you fail, he tries to mock you. He tries to take away your faith. He tries to make you feel God will not listen to you again. He does all that kind of stuff. I told you he was mocking Jesus on the cross now. He said, he trusted God. Oh, yeah, let him come and save you now. He mocks our faith. He uses mockery. We are not the first, and you won't be the last. Did you remember when they are rebuilding the temple? He brought the ministry of Tambalat and the mocking the work of God. That's his ministry. To mock you into depression. He will mock you until you become depressed. And then your faith and boldness go through the window. Then he now finishes you. Because then your fighting spirit is gone. You can't resist. There's no joy, nothing. Brethren, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me tell you something. Your boldness does not depend on you. You must not put your faith in yourself. Whether you did something, didn't do something, your ability to come to God does not depend on you. Get to understand that. You are not the way to God. Jesus is the way. Oh, man. Am I talking to you? Your boldness must not depend on you. The day you put it on yourself, you put it on quicksand. Because you and I have no, within 24 hours, we have done things that, how can you put it on us? But on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Let me read Hebrews 10, 19 to 22 for you. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. Ha, ha, ha. Are you serious? How many of us can do that? You can boldly what? What is the... There, okay. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of you. Ah, the other television, have they sold it? Ah. In 2 minutes, they showed it. I know. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly, what? Enter. How do we enter? Why do we enter boldly? Talk to me, church. Talk louder, come on. Come on, say it louder, I want to hear you. You got to tell the devil that. You got to look the devil in the eyes. I'm going there because of the broad devil. Can't you read the Bible? Sometimes I said to the devil, are you deaf? It means you don't. Let me read to you what the Bible says. I am going there boldly because the blood was shed for me. It was not shed for you, Satan. It was shed for me. I will go and you can come. I dare you. You can. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We must have confidence in Christ. Solid confidence in Christ. So that when he challenges your faith, you stand by your faith. You say, look, let me tell you. If you don't go to God, how will you rise? Is it not God that will help you to rise? The righteous fall it how many times?
Seven times.
What will happen? God will bring him up. He restored my soul. He's the one that restored us. Real restoration and real repentance is an act of the Holy Spirit. When he walks in your heart, you have genuine repentance. Genuine. How much did it take Zaki to change? Remember Zaki? 2 feet 6. He met Jesus, brethren. Let me tell you, the mystery of divine power. The mystery of the love of God. It passes human. That's why we think that the law surpasses love. Because we don't know about the love of God. You don't know the power that is the love of God. You have no idea what that thing is. That Jesus stood before a criminal. And the man looked at love. Divine love. He couldn't stand it. He said, my God, I'm a thief. Whoa. He said, I'm going to return everything I stole. How much sermon did Jesus preach to him? He just told him, Zacchaeus, you are worth something before God. I've come to stay with you. You are not, God is not avoiding you. God has come for you. Because I came to seek the lost. You are one of them. And I'm going nowhere because I love you so much. That's why I came. The man said, I have never seen such acceptance. Because nobody accepted him except Jesus. And the love of God penetrated his spirit. Penetrated his spirit. Because love is God. Did what the law could not do. The man was a law follower. But the love of God transformed his heart. From within, it was a genuine repentance. That's why the Bible says the goodness of God leads us to what? That's it. We think that law will change. Law doesn't change nobody. It's only the spirit of it. So we must understand that the blood was shed. Not so that I continue to do what? No. It's to give you a second chance now. So that your fellowship with God can be restored. And the same God will restore you and help you and show you how you can overcome that thing and guide you out of it. Come on, are you hearing me?
Yes.
Because without him, you can still do nothing. Can do nothing. So you should go. And Jesus said, no one that cometh to me, I will in any wise what? Cast it. And the devil said, are you going? After what you did? Yeah, I'm going, Satan. And I'm telling you, you can't even come with me. For where I'm going, you can't come. Praise the Lord. That's the privilege of sons of God. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
I want us to just stand and understand the high priestly ministry of Jesus right now. Is that Jesus is in a ministry that the church doesn't teach a lot. The Bible says our great high what? He's standing before God, ministering with his blood. Let's read it. Hebrews 10:10. And so, time. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest, what do we have, church? A great high priest who rules over God's house. Are you part of God's house?
Yes.
Rules over. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Who is him? Am I reading? Let us go back to 21, please. Please, 21, quickly. Back up a little bit. Back up 21. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, which means ministering for you. That's what it means. He's there on your behalf. He says, since we have him. What's another word for since we have him? Because we have him. What's another word? Since we have him, yes. Because we have him. Is there another word we can use? Have we exhausted since? Because? Any other word that? Eh? As a result of having him, what other word can we use? You can speak Igbo now, English or whatever, French. Whatever word. I want you to get this. I want. Yeah, good. Can we hear another one? Any other person? You must, listen, you must understand this. Based on the fact we have him. So we're going right into the presence of God. It's based on the fact that we have a great high priest. It's not based on you. The devil wants you to look at yourself. And you say to the devil, no, I'm going there because I have a great high priest. Who is the propitiation for our sins? Jesus, the Son of God. That's what faith in Christ means. When you say you are born again, you must understand what it means. So you live the life of a Christian. Can I hear him? He says, since we have... if we don't, okay. Since we have it now, what happens in 22? 22 now, since we have it, what happens? Let us go right into the presence of God with what? Sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Who is him? Our high priest. This is what pleases God. God cannot put a ministry for you and you neglect it and you're doing religion. Think God is interested in that junk. I'm telling you, this is why a lot of Christians, they don't experience much from God, because they are devising their own way of going to God. And God is saying, no, I opened one way for you. Nobody comes to the Father except what? Through Jesus. Come trust in him. The devil has talked a lot of Christians out of their confidence and boldness, that their prayer is worthless. So they try to do rituals, thinking that those rituals will impress God and make God do something. Call the name of Jesus 4 times, 5th time. Turn to the north, turn to the south, turn to the west, turn to the east. Keep turning out until you get dizzy. At the point, you must get dizzy. Amen? God says to us, he says, hey, come unto me, all you that are what? Amen. He says, when you come, let your request be made known unto me. Keep your ritual somewhere, I don't need it. Tell me what you want. That's important. Amen? So he also wants us to believe that the benefit of our salvation is not now. He wants us to live in hope. So he says to you, so you see the promises of God. So we call it promises, thinking it's something that is yet to come. No, 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 it's done. The Bible said that faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. Now, there were promises made to our fathers, Abraham. They were made to our fathers, Abraham. They hoped for it because they didn't see it. It hadn't come. It was made to our fathers. But when Christ came, he fulfilled it. Amen. So that which they hoped for has now become a substance. Amen. Has now become a reality. Amen. So all the promises of God are now realities. Amen. They are facts. They are truths. They are solid facts that have been accomplished. And all that the Christian has to do is to take it as his own and it works for him. Amen. So you don't have to work for it. You can't. Look, I have this thing. I have this thing here. It's my own. Making me to work for it is either I lost my mind, I'm drunk. You see me walking here. I say, Pastor, what are you? He say, I'm working here to put this in my pocket. He say, Pastor, it's already there now. He say, no, you don't understand. I'm working hard to. What else can I do to make it come there? He say, Pastor, no. It's already there. Now, what are you? You take phone and call my wife and say, there's a way. Pastor is now behaving. Because what he has in his pocket, he's working hard for it. Now, Can you extrapolate it to Christians doing stuff like that?
Yes.
What they already have, they're fooling around it, working for it. And the devil is laughing at our ignorance. Just laughing at our ignorance. Go and read out your Bible. You can't say the early church pray for the things we pray for. Not one. They don't do stuff like that because they knew what they had. Amen?
Amen.
Check your whole Bible. You will see one prayer where they're asking the kind of things we spend hours to say we're doing night vigil instead of sleeping. At least gain sleep and gain health. You to waste your time in talking rubbish. Praise the Lord. So that's what we talked about yesterday. Today we are focusing on being grounded in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, seeing that the enemy is working now to confuse us about knowing Jesus, to blur our vision, confuse us on the basis of our faith. Then we have to really understand that we need to really fight back. If we could confuse Peter and Barnabas, then we must take this thing seriously. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:3. 4:3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are what? Did you see the word hidden? Okay, let's see who is hiding it. Verse 4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. He says Satan is blinding people. So they don't understand the gospel. And then he said the reason he wants to do that is so that they perish. What did God say? My people perish. For what? Because of the lack of knowledge of the truth, and Christ is the truth, we are losing battles left and right. And some people's faith is going haywire. Now, a pastor came to me some years ago. He was crying. He said, Pastor, I can't tell you this. He says, it's unbelievable. I went to a native doctor. They're saying, hi, I can't sit down. Many of them do it. Can't sit down. A lot of Christians still go do it. All these following so-called prophets and things. What are they doing? Is it not the same thing? He said, I went to a native doctor, Pastor. He said, I can't believe this. He said, my problem was too much. You see what God has done? His eyes has been what? Blinded to the extent that his faith was destroyed. His faith was destroyed. He didn't know why Paul said, none of these things move me. Because I know in whom. He didn't know in whom he believed. So he moved him. The thing is moving people all over the place. Moving, looking for things where there's not. My sister in London, which he behaves like me. Hi, behaves like it's my sister. It's a brother. They now have people who have cats in London. If you have problem there. In fact, you don't have to have problem. They knock at your door and say, there's a prophet that can pray for you. It's a business. So they carry cat. So if they get people, they have commission. He said, they came to my house. And then I said, what do you want? He said, there's a prophet. And he said, I asked him. So he can pray, yeah? Okay, tell me what is wrong with my own prayer. That's what they asked him. You know, like brother, like sister. He said, tell me what is wrong with my knees, my friend. Is my knee rotten? Or is God against me? He said, you must answer me. Why must I call your prophet instead of calling God? He said, what is wrong with my prayer? He said, they packed their cards and left my house. They are doing it today. Because the devil has blinded people from the hope of glory. And they think hope is in the human being. Even in this church, many of you are trooping around and doing that. And when you get into trouble, you come and be calling pastor. Instead of going to them and solving it, Pastor, hello, Pastor. And you won't tell me what happened to you, where you went to. And the people you've been dealing with all this time, you won't tell me the details. And you leave me now, And I go to God and say, Lord, 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 and the Lord will say, stop. Don't worry about it. He started it, let him. He won't listen to you. Praise the Lord. So he's blinding people. So what we need to do is to make it a goal to know Christ. What did I say? So he will not blind you. He doesn't want you to know. But you must know. You must what?
No.
You must make it your goal. Brethren, I'm telling you, stop being a mere church going. Make it your goal that you must know Jesus. Because the devil doesn't want you to know him. And this fight you must win. You must win. If I tell you what has been happening to me recently, you will know that he's really angry about what we're preaching. Like every Thursday, something will happen. Just to distract me. Or make me angry. And I said to myself, "Woo! Now we got him where he's hurting him. And we're preaching this thing by the grace of God." Amen. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Preaching this thing. One Thursday, somebody drove from nowhere, drove into my parking lot, and hit my car. Hit it and left. We didn't even know this. Thursday, I said to the devil, "You a liar. I'm going to teach Bible studies. And I'm going to tell them about Jesus Christ." Amen?
Amen.
So we must make it our goal. Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ. I want to what? That is a statement of a desire and a goal. You too must say, I want to know Christ. And so that will drive us to asking God to reveal Jesus to us. Because if we don't ask God, we won't know him. Jesus is not known by reading Bible alone. Let me say it again. You don't know him by coming to church alone. The Spirit of God must open your eyes of what? Understanding. Look, Bible you are reading, without God opening your eyes, you are wasting your time. I was doing this for years. In that my office, and the Lord said to me, "You don't know my son." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Go and preach him." I told you the story over and over. I preached, I realized I didn't know him. And I went back to the Lord and said, "Yeah, I wanted you to find out. You don't know him." And he said to me, "Preach my son." He said, "Nobody." Daddy told me, "Say, if you preach my son, I'll bless you." He said, "They are not preaching Jesus. They are not preaching the truth. In him is wisdom and knowledge. They are not preaching it. He's the hope of the world. They are not showing people. He's the strength of your salvation. They are not showing people. He's your all in all. They are not showing people. Without him, you can do nothing. They are not telling people. So people are not putting faith in him because they don't know him. They are putting faith in all manner of stuff that is sinking sand. I'm telling you, you may not know Jesus. You might think you do. I told you the story of T.L. Osborne. He thought he knew and went out of zeal to preach Jesus everywhere. When he failed, he came back. Said, "Lord, I failed." And Jesus appeared. A man who went in there to preach Jesus was shouting, "He is real. He is real." That's after going to preach. Comes back to say he's what? So before he wasn't real. I'm telling you the truth. So you must begin to pray that God will open your eyes of what? Understand. Ephesians 1:15. "Ever since I heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly." It's a constantly prayer. Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. He says we must pray that God will open our... Can I have King James Version in this thing? King James Version. "Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. What do I pray for you? That the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give you unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom. And what is the next one? And revelation in the knowledge of him. He said, I don't stop praying this prayer. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You will understand why he's called you. And then you can read down and say, so that you also know the power that works in you. This is a very important prayer you need to pray for yourself. Look at Acts 16. Acts 16, 13. Is it 1 or 13? Acts 16, 13. Acts 16, 13. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women who resorted thither. Yeah. King James, thither and hither. And a certain woman named... Oh, no. Come on, continue. It's okay. 13. 1-3. On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. And we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there, 14 of them. One of them was Lydia and from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth, who worshipped God. As she listened to us, what happened to her? The Lord, come on church, what happened to her? The Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul said. If God didn't open that heart, she would not understand. I thought here, if you can catch your mind back, that the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit is to open your eyes. Is to open your eyes of what? I said there is the public ministry, there is the private ministry. Is to open your eyes. And when her eyes was opened and she began to understand what Paul was saying, she accepted it. Is that correct? If you read that, we see her enthusiasm came up. He said to Paul, please, you can't go from here. You need to stay with us. And her enthusiasm came up because she saw, wow, this is true. What? This is real. But not before God opened her eyes. Not before them. The Bible is not biology. It's spirit. You don't understand it with your human intellect. You don't. You understand it by your spirit. I'm telling the truth. You don't understand scriptures by your human what? Intelligence. For instance, the love of God passes all. So how can you understand the love of God? When it passes your understanding. There has to be another capacity you have to understand it, which is your spirit. And then the Spirit of God will open your eyes of... When God says you are walking in blindness, what it means is that your eyes of understanding is blind. You are not seeing anything. And that's what Jesus said, those that have ears to hear. What he's talking about? Your ear of... Yes. And David knew this thing before Jesus came. He knew it. He said, open down my... So I will behold wonders. The man knew. And go and read David. He had tremendous revelation about Jesus Christ. What he wrote about Christ was incredible. He wrote about the cross. If I wrote about rapture, he wrote about everything. The words on the cross, he wrote all of it. Tremendous revelation. Amen? So we need to be praying this prayer. Look at Galatians 1:15. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then he pleased him, 16. What did he please him to do? 16. To reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. So he said, when he pleased God, he revealed Jesus to me. And you can imagine the tremendous revelation Paul had about Christ that he put down for us to read. Amen. So why do we need to know Jesus? Number one, that's the most important knowledge you should have. Jesus said, if that is one thing that is needful, I don't have time. I could show you from scripture that Jesus, the knowledge of Jesus is the perfect will of God. That Romans was talking about. After I can show you from scripture that Romans chapter 12 we're reading about, to know the perfect will of God. He used the definite word, there. That's Christ is talking about. I have other scriptures to prove, but I don't have time. But I want to show you that the knowledge of Christ is the most important knowledge any man should have. The prophets say so. And Jesus said so. You know what the prophets said? Proverbs 4:7. They say wisdom is the principal thing. What does it mean, principal thing? The most important thing. Right? Church, right? Which means if it's the principal thing, nothing comes before it. Now, what wisdom? Let us hear the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 1:24. But to those called by God to salvation. 1 Corinthians 1:24. New Living Translation, whatever translation I have, just as long as you give it to me right away. But to those called by God to what? Salvation. Both Jews and Gentiles, read with me, church. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom. So when the prophet says the wisdom is the principal thing, he was referring to the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of men will amount to nothing. Am I right? So he can't be saying the wisdom of men is the principal thing. So he left us with only one wisdom. The wisdom of God. And who is that wisdom of God? Christ Jesus. You see, the scripture is pointing to Jesus all the time. Pointing to Christ all the time. All scripture is pointing to Jesus. Wisdom is the principal thing. And the Holy Spirit said to the church, yes, is the principal thing. Jesus Christ is that wisdom of God. So you can say the wisdom of God, the knowledge of Christ is the principal thing. Without missing the point. Is that correct? Come on, do you agree? Yes. How many of you agree? Am I right? Yes. Okay, so we'll continue. Now, Jesus himself said so. Now, if this doesn't convince you, Jesus will convince you. Now, here is Jesus with Mary in their house, Martha, Luke 10:39. Let's see what happens here. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. I like to call it Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. What was that good part that Mary chose? She sat at the feet of Jesus to listen to the word of God. Now, question is, how is it the knowledge of Christ? What do you think that Jesus was teaching Mary? About himself. I want you to read the whole of the teachings of Jesus. Three quarters, if not more than three quarters, was about himself. He was introducing himself. I'm the light of the world. I am the resurrection. He was always introducing himself. He was always telling them, I'm the Messiah. The Messiah has come. Because he came to his own, and they rejected him. If he didn't introduce himself, how in the world would they know he's the Messiah? So his focus of his teaching was to tell them, I am the one God has what? He said, I came from my Father. He sent me. You people are not accepting me. He said, you will receive any other person except him that the Father has sent. He went to the temple. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He was telling them, I'm the Messiah. Watch all his teaching. Telling them that I'm the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. I'm the sent one. And he was telling his disciples, I'm the one. I'm the one. I am the one. I'm the one that the Father has sent. I and my Father were one. See me, see my Father now. I came forth from my Father. And before he died, he prayed. He said, God, that my disciples have now accepted that I came from you and that you sent me. So his teaching was about himself, trying to convince them that he's the Messiah. So what do you think he was telling Mary? Teaching him that I am what? And for you to know that that was what he was teaching them. Even Martha has had it a couple of times. What Jesus was talking about being doing many things is not that Martha was totally wrong. What Jesus was saying is that the most important thing is this knowing me, Martha. Not that cooking food is not important. If they don't cook food, I can't teach you here. Because a hungry man, yes. And if they don't cook food, I'm not sure we'll be here. Jesus is not saying that cooking is wrong. What he's saying, the priority matter is eating the food of heaven. Jesus, the manna, trumps eating the natural food. You are bothered about many things, but this is the priority. After you eat this, you can cook food. Are you getting my point? He was saying to him, Mary has made the proper, yes, there's need for this, but I'm not with you all the time. So she's hearing teachings about me. How do I know that that's what he's teaching them? Because Martha also said to Jesus, thou art the Christ. Yes. Where did she learn it? From Jesus. Amen. Are you following my point? Let me show you something. About Martha. John 11:20. So you saw it, so that you know that Martha was also hearing this thing that about Christ. John 11:20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know, I will tell you, he knew who Jesus was. But I know that even now, whatever you shall ask of God, God will what? Give it to you. Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. The woman has learned a lot from Jesus. In the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I'm the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou that? She said to him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. What did she learn it? Jesus told her, I'm the Christ. He said, yes, I know you are the Christ. And that's why he said, anything you ask the Father will do it now. Come on, church. Are you getting my point? So Martha knew Jesus. So Jesus was teaching them so that they would believe that he's the one. And they did believe. But Jesus was saying, you are cumbered about many things. Between that food you want to prepare and this food I'm giving, this is number one thing. And no man shall take it what? Because when you know me, you shall be strong and you shall do exploits. So now with two Bible studies, you are putting, so you're taking an extra job, book me. You call your supervisor, book me. If anybody's not coming, please, I'm available. You are Martha. You should become Mary. Because the knowledge of Jesus will give you greater blessing than those few dollars you're taking. And after taking it, something will happen. You'll be crying, God, why are you? But it is being strong that make you do exploits. Can I hear amen? Amen. To make you do what? Exploits. I've told people, you haven't seen blessing until the Holy Spirit works in your life. You haven't seen nothing. You think that is that your extra job is all God, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know nothing. You can be in your bedroom and God will give you an idea that will turn into millions. In your bedroom, you don't have to live there. And God has turned it over. You in your bedroom, sitting there, God can give you an idea that will spin millions in your life without effort. But when they say, come and know Jesus, you say, hey, I want to make both ends meet. And I never meet him. Because every time they want to meet, there's always one yard that doesn't come. Because only Jesus will make it really meet. Yes. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, if you serve me, I will bless your bread and your butter. Come on. People don't know the way to blessing. They think the way to blessing is all the struggling and running around. No. He took Abraham to a desert and said to Abraham, because I'm God, I don't need anything. I'm the blessing itself. And in this desert, I will what?
Bless
you. Did he do that?
Yes.
I'm asking you, did he do that?
Yes,
Pastor. If you go to Israel, amazing. Their boundary is where you see vegetables growing. Once you cross their boundary, the other place is desert. And this is the fourth largest producer of arms in the world. Their economy is awesome. They own America. Shop, call any company owned by them. Jews, they own everywhere. Go to once you park your car in New York, you are giving them money. Because they own most of the parking things in New York is their own. And ask people now. Every day, Jewish people are enjoying the benefit of blessings of God on their father Abraham. And we Christians even have the same access to the same thing. But our own is based on faith in Christ. They too have the same thing in Christ. The blessing is our own. And if they're getting it, we too should also get it. But what is our faith in Christ? Do you know that they pay tithe? Jews don't talk with tithe. They pay tithe. Am I telling lies? You know them now. They pay tithe as individuals. They pay as a company. A Jewish company will pay tithe. They don't care who you are. First thing they remove is their tithe. They don't joke with it. But I don't want to talk about tithe. Because some of you are stealing God's money. I won't pay him. I don't even know why I went there. Praise the Lord. Are we making progress?
Yes.
So to know Christ is the most important knowledge that we must have. Look at John 5:35-37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, had borne witness of me. Even the Father bore witness of him. The Father himself. And the Father himself, which has sent me, had borne. Can you put New Living Translation? Let's see what he's saying there. And the Father who sent me has testified about me, what? Himself. Even God is talking about Jesus. And you have never heard his voice or seen him face to face. Verse 38. And you do not have his message in your heart because you do not believe me, the one he sent to you. See, Jesus always telling them, I'm the one he sent to you now. I'm the one. Then 39, he said, let's talk about scriptures. He said, you people read the scripture all the time. You cite the scripture because you think they give you what? But the scriptures point to who? To me. He said, my Father is talking about me. The scripture is talking about me. And you're citing the scripture, you don't find me. And yet it's talking about me. Quiet time you did. Where's your quiet time pointing you to? You must point you to Christ. When I read the Bible, I see nothing but Jesus. Everywhere I turn is Jesus. Everywhere I turn is Jesus. Everywhere. The Spirit of God begins to open your eyes. Jesus is amazing. Man. It's beyond human imagination who he is. He is totally, you can't know him and your faith will be shaken. You can't know the incredible glory he has and who he is. And your faith is shaken. Are you serious? Are you serious? You have no idea who he is. You have no inkling who you are talking about. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. John 1:45. Philip found Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him. Who did we find, Philip? We have found him of whom you jumped ahead of me. Please go back a little bit. Philip found Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Have you found him yet? That's the issue. Do you know him? John 20:31. But these are written. Why were they written? John 20:31. But these are written that you might do what? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing now, you might have life through him. So that your life becomes transformed through his mercy. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Look at what Paul said. Philippians 3:8. Philippians 3:8. Are you getting anything? Philippians 3:8. Yes, everything else is worthless. This is Paul talking. Yes, everything else is what? Worthless. When compared with infinite value. He said the value is infinite. What is infinite? It's not too much. Huh? Infinity means. Now, those of you that go and buy infinity, you don't know the meaning. You are driving infinity. Infinity means endless, cannot be calculated. So he says, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing who? Christ Jesus, my Lord. You think you found that what Paul is talking about? You think you found what Paul is talking about? The infinite value means in every aspect of your life, the value of Christ in it is incalculable. You can't measure it. The value of Christ in your life, to live your daily life, in your life, to do your business, in your life, to be a father, a mother. He says the value of Jesus is totally unmeasurable. Why? God has opened. Remember he said, when he pleased God to reveal his son to me. Say, what I saw. What I saw. Man. Then he said, now I live to know him. That I might what? What he said. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, that knowledge transforms your life. That knowledge what? Transforms your life completely. Because Jesus is a reflection of God. And the Bible says he came to reveal God to us. And the scripture says, as we behold him, in 2 Corinthians 3:18. So all of us, how many of us? All of us, you and me, who have had that veil removed. That is, when you come to Christ, the veil is removed. Why? Because you have the Spirit of God to show you the things that are freely given to you. So you don't have any veil covering your spiritual eye. You have the ability to know Jesus Christ. Every born again Christian has the ability to know who? Jesus. The veil has been removed. Can you tell somebody that? So when you come to Christ, that veil removed, you can now see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious what? Image. Let me read it again. Can I read it from the beginning, please? So all of us who have had the veil removed can see. We can see. And reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us how? Who makes us? Who makes us? It's the Lord. Because we're just branches. It's divine. So he makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his what? Glory. And how does he make us? He makes us through renewing our mind through the knowledge of Christ. I mean, let me make a statement here. You cannot love unless you know the love of God. Forget it. You can be nice to those who are nice to you. And you can endure people who and say it's love. But you are really enduring and murmuring all night. You are murmuring all night and enduring and saying, well, they say we should love. I'm loving, no. But if you know what they did, all those people, they're wicked people. But I love them. Don't want to talk about it. In fact, God knows I'm not talking about it at all. And you've been talking. And all night you are sitting there. You haven't slept half the time. You haven't slept. It's boiling. And if you see them, you are just barely holding yourself and praying inside that they should do quick and get out of it. But let me tell you, I had an experience with God some time ago. God was telling me, stop doing this thing, stop doing that. I was going to remember some things, you know. I just did it again. And this time I did it again. I had a song in my heart. They were singing it in Igbo. Say, where is my honor? Where is my honor? He said, where is my fear? They were singing, Ole Ben Soporunde, where is my? And I remember, I said, Lord, wow. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Listen to this wedding. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Immediately I said, I'm sorry, forgive me in Jesus' name. That song stopped. Bam. It was like something, instant break. Bam. I said, this is how you forgive? Instantly. He said, I keep my word. There's no evil in me. When I say I do something, I do. It doesn't, I don't even remember that second. They're talking about. He said, you people, your own will linger for 1 week, two, and pastor will preach 1 month before you decide to forgive. That is if you will ever forgive me. Brethren, let me tell you, that thing taught me a huge lesson. I said, my God, I'm not kidding. It was like, immediately I said, forgive me, Jesus, what I have, pop, the thing stopped, pop, stop, instant, pop. I said, what? And the Lord said to me, I don't tell lies. If I say, if you confess your sin, I forgive you, say, that's exactly what I do. Because the blood has paid for it. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, we love because he first what? Love. So if I don't know his love, tell me how I will love. Tell me how I will love. Am I not going to be walking in my carnal mind? And Christianity is not about laws, my friends. I'm telling you, it's about the love of God. In fact, God gave us only two laws. Jesus gave us only two laws in the New Testament. One is that we must believe in him, Jesus. The other thing is we will walk in love. He said, by this shall all men know. So I give you commandment. He didn't even call it law. You know why it's a commandment? It's like the general giving instruction to his troops. He said, love the way I love you. He said, I give you a new command. You must love the way I love you. In the Old Testament, he said, you love your neighbor as what? Then Jesus came and said, you love your neighbor as I now have what? That's why I said new. It's new. New. And now the standard. You didn't have the standard before. So you love, they use selfish love to help you. But now, this is the standard. I'm the standard. So you love as I what? Love, because my spirit, my love will be working in you. So it has to be my life. And he that loveth has fulfilled what? All the law. Love does not do evil. So how can I love, brethren, if I don't know the love of God? Is it not Paul that told us that the love of God constrains my actions? He said, what constrains me is that love. It drives me what I do. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. So if the love is driving me, do you know how I will forgive you? It's the same way God forgave me instantly. Instantly. And then when I see him tomorrow, if I'm embracing him with what? All my heart. That's Christianity. Well, time is over. I didn't finish this, but that's okay. Did you get what I was saying? Okay, I want us to rise up.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.